Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Kirk Peter filling in for my good friend Terry Wickstrom on 104.3 The Fan. You know, this is a great, great time of year for those of us who enjoy the outdoors because there's so much going on. I've got friends right now in elk camps. I've got friends out in goose pits. I've got friends chasing upland birds and so on and so forth. But I've also got friends who are kind enough to stay inside and call me on the radio. And that would include my friend Tucker Ladd. Tucker's the owner of Trout's Fly Shop here in Denver. He's also the owner of Trout's in Frisco. He's a longtime fly angler and good friend of mine. Tucker, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kirk.
How you been, man?
I've been very well. How about yourself? I'm
good, good, good. It's a good way to start a Saturday is talking to someone that you know and fished with a lot. And one of the things I want to touch on is that with all this going on this time of year, we almost think that those of us who like fly fishing so much, kind of hang up the rods and the waders and we sulk and tie flies. But that's not the case, is it? There's an awful lot going on still.
You know, fly fishing is one of those pastimes that's so unique because it offers such, just endless possibilities, particularly in Colorado. I mean, we're fortunate that, you know, we have a 365-day season here. We're not limited by river closures. So it's a great time to get out on the water. And one of my favorites, just because there's just the lack of people and the fish are still hungry.
Yeah, you know, you hit it on the head there because it's also a time when people can't really plan long in advance. In other words, you see the weather forecast, it might be 65 degrees one day and 16 the next. So it's kind of a time for us locals to pick and choose when we're going to go out and enjoy things. If you were to go out and fish, say you've got a bluebird day coming up next week or so, are there a few places that you might recommend for people to hit?
I mean, you know, this is tailwater season, as I like to call it. I mean, the Freestone River, so anything that doesn't have a dam or reservoir ahead of it or upstream of it are going to be a little bit on the frozen, icy side of things. So, you know, the South Platte River drainage is a really good one for this time of year for people close to the Denver Front Range. You've got the Blue River, you know, right outside of Silverthorne, which is near our Frisco location. The Williams Fork was always is another good one that I enjoy encountering. Or frequent, I should say, during the winter months. So really, I mean, you've got the Arkansas River below Pueblo Reservoir, which is a great front range stream. You know, you get really nice weather down in that section. And then you've got other places like the Frying Pan or the Taylor if you want to go target some really big trophy trout. There's really just lots and lots of possibilities. And then, you know, depending on what the weather is going to be, you know, you might find some sections of the Colorado, the Eagle, the Roaring Fork, that'll be fishable this time of year as well.
That's great. You know, I had a goal last year, and I actually accomplished it, but I wanted to catch a trout on a dry fly in every month of the season. And admittedly, January and February were a little harder than others, but you'd be surprised. I mean, most people would be surprised. We're very lucky having this warm southwest climate that allows us to have hatches and different things going on throughout the season, as you said. Are there some special bugs or equipment or, you know, things that gear advice that you would give somebody who might want to get out there within the next month or so?
You know, you just got to think small this time of year. You know, there's not a ton of insect life going on in the river. So mostly you're going to be limited to midges, some, you know, blueing olives and betas and during the, you know, certain times of day if the weather gets a little bit warmer. So the nice thing is that, you know, in terms of the menu looking, you know, for the fish, it's a pretty limited selection right now. So, you know, fishing with like an attractor pattern, like an egg, a worm, a scud pattern or a mysis shrimp. If you're say on the, you know, like the Frying Pan or the Taylor River or the Blue River, which has mysis shrimp that it'll flow into it. And then, you know, small bugs, you know, you're going to be fishing things that are size 18 to 24 this time of year. So it's small flies, really small tippet. You know, I'm a big advocate of just fishing normal monofilament during the course of the season. But once we get into the winter months, fluorocarbon becomes a really big deal. And then, you know, softer rods. You don't need, you know, a big six weight to, you know, huck a giant streamer 50 feet. Something in the that's going to be a little bit softer, a little bit more presentation oriented. It's going to be, you know, it will do you a lot of favors.
You know, we're talking about these techniques and so forth, and I wanted to take a step back real quick and acknowledge that now is also a good time to get into the sport. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who said, gee, I've always wanted to fly fish, but I've never really figured out how to do the cast or how to tie the knots or those types of things. Well, in the wintertime, you, I know for sure, and your shop and the people that work with you do a lot of clinics and events and things that can help bootstrap somebody who wants to get into the sport of angling. Isn't that so?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just because the weather turns a little bit colder and the snow starts falling doesn't mean that we're, you know, hanging up our rods and we're done for the season. You know, as long as it just necessitates, a, you know, some warmer clothing, a little bit different technique and gear, but it's a phenomenal time to get into it. So, yeah, we offer, you know, beginner classes through the course of the off season. We do a lot of fly tying, fly casting. You know, come January, early January, we've got the fly fishing show, which is going to come to Denver. You've got the International Sportsman's Expo that comes through town, the fly fishing film tour. We do our own throwback fly fishing film fest in February of every year. So there's a tremendous amount of angling and opportunities, whether it's on the river or something where it's just, you know, giving you something to do on a weekend or a Wednesday evening.
That's right. And it's a lot, quite a culture here in the Front Range and in the Denver area specifically. A lot of fly anglers. I think I read somewhere that we have the highest percentage per capita of fly anglers of anywhere in the world here, which is.
The statistic I've always heard is that there's more, you know, fly fishing dollars that move through the Denver Front Range than anywhere else in the lower 48, or if not the world. So, no, it's a we're a hotbed of fly fishing for sure. And it's just all due to the fact that we have so many angling opportunities that are within such a short distance of Denver or really anywhere. I mean, if I look at Denver, we've got the South Platte River, you've got Clear Creek, Bear Creek, South Boulder Creek. If you want to go a little bit further north, you've got the Big Thompson, you've got the Poudre. So those are just rivers that are flowing east from the Continental Divide. If you go up to our Frisco location, you know, you could go in any direction 360 degrees and you've got the South Platte, you've got the Blue, the Colorado, the Williams Fork, the Eagle, the Roaring Fork. I mean, there's just such a plethora of angling opportunities that are within a short distance of driving, and you really don't see that anywhere else. I mean, if you look at Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, I mean, these are all iconic angling states, but, you know, they've got big major rivers that are, you know, hours apart, whereas Denver, we've got smaller streams that are just as proficient and effective and quality, but with just a lot less time driving. So you can hit a lot of different things in one day. It also allows us that, you know, for the winter months, there's just a lot of different options. I mean, we've got more tailwaters in Colorado that were within a three-hour drive of Denver than most states have, you know, entirely.
Amen to that. That's the beauty of it. And, you know, getting back onto the commerce side of things, I'll let the audience know that, Tucker, you were the former chairman of the American Fly Fishing Trade Association, and then last month we had the industry trade show come back to Denver for the first time in several years. It was a great homecoming of sorts. The show set attendance records, it sent exhibitor records, there were new products showcased and all that stuff. I just wondered if you saw some products there, or you got a general vibe or feel for what it was like to have that come back to Denver.
You know, it was fantastic. I mean, for so many years, we were the closest fly shop to, you know, in the world to this show. And then we followed it through New Orleans and Reno and over to Orlando and Las Vegas. So it was really tremendous to have it back and see the just get that general vibe and just energy from fly fishing being, you know, back home in Denver. In terms of gear, you know, one of the companies that we're really excited about is Ross and Able. They're both reel manufacturers based out of Montrose, Colorado. Ross re-released, I would say, the San Miguel fly reel, which was personally one of my, you know, all-time favorites. And it's been about, oh gosh, probably 15 or 20 years since they last made the San Miguel. And so it was really cool to see that reel come back out. G. Loomis had the NRX Plus, which was, you know, was going to replace their NRX series, which has been an iconic fly rod in the industry. And Loomis is, you know, really a kind of a a sleeper company. Not a lot of people know about them. You know, when they think Loomis, they think Shimano, they think conventional fishing. But, man, G. Loomis makes some really, really underrated fly rods, and that NRX Plus is one that we're super excited about. Personally, I'm really excited about the Sage LL. You know, that the light line was a very memorable fly rod that they made a number of years ago to sort of see something like that come back out. So it's really kind of – this year seems to be the year of, hey, let's look back and what we did best 20 years ago and how can we improve upon that. So it's cool to see that they're not – you know, fly fishing is one that there's only so many technical advancements that can be made in fly fishing and fly rods. So to see these companies say, hey, let's look at what we did well in the past and how we can improve upon that. It's been a pretty cool trend that we're seeing moving forward.
Yeah, I'd add to that trend. I think a lot of people are jumping on the cause-related marketing bandwagon, too. And one of the Able reels that are coming out, Ross, actually, it's an Animus reel branded specifically in a green color, special green color, and they're earmarking some of the money that goes directly into Trout Unlimited and what they're doing to help the Animus be as healthy as it can be. It's a really important river in southwestern Colorado. And you can get those reels through the fly shops, you know. So the fly shop wins, the company wins, conservation wins, and the angler wins in the whole scheme of things. So that's all pretty good stuff. I think there's a lot more of that coming down the pike.
Well, I sure hope so, because let's face it. I mean, we are a resource-based, you know, recreation activity. We depend on rivers to be able to do what we love to do. So, you know, Trout's fly fishing, our mantra has always been, we've got to give back. We've got a slogan that we, you know, follow on a daily basis called Endorsed by Mother Nature. And really, I mean, we've got to give back. So, you know, Trout's fly fishing has always been a huge proponent of conservation, particularly Trout Unlimited. You know, in 2019 alone, we've raised over $20,000 that we've given back to Trout Unlimited through various events that we've run. So, you know, giving back, you know, supporting the resource, we've all got to be better stewards of the land. I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, that's awesome, and thank you for that. You know, I got about another minute to go, and I wanted to touch on another subject. I'm seeing more and more momentum behind women anglers and more products specifically for women and more outings specifically for women. And, you know, we as a couple of guys who fly fish, we've been part of the demographic that's often associated with it. But I see it getting younger, and I see it getting a lot more diverse. Do you?
Absolutely. I mean, the beauty of fly fishing from my perspective is my customers are 9 years old and 90 years old. So, I mean, it's spread so many different spectrums and generations. And now we're starting to see more, you know, youthful women getting into it. And it's very exciting to see. You know, I mentioned the Denver Fly Fishing Show, and the fly fishing show this past January, I mean, the number of young women walking around the show floor was very noticeable, and it's very encouraging to see that we are a sport that are becoming more diversified, and we're attractive to a number of different demographics. And, you know, seeing women getting into the sport, seeing, you know, momentum and initiatives like the 50-50 campaign by Orvis. I mean, it's cool to see that we're not only, you know, reaching out, but, you know, trying to offer products, services, and experiences that are going to attract that demographic as well.
Well, for sure. Hey, listen, man, I need to thank you so much. It meant a lot to me that you'd come on the air right off the bat and get this thing rolling this morning. If anyone wants to learn a little bit more about fly fishing, Tucker's a good source, and Trout's is the place to do it. So, Tucker, thanks a lot for hanging in here with me.
Hey, Kirk, thanks for having me, and look forward to doing it again sometime.
All right, buddy, we'll do that again. Okay, off we'll go, and we will come back in a few, and we'll be following up on an interesting topic about why you don't really want to attract big game near your house, especially this time of year.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.